Bismillah. Welcome to Beautiful Light, your Akhira-driven radio, brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. My name is Muna Sheikh Omar, and I'm your host. Before we jump right in, I'd like to give a content warning. This episode mentions infant death. It was my senior year of college. I was sitting in a studio at Minnesota Public Radio and listening to Nora McInerney interview this couple who lost their child to a syndrome that I pray no one ever runs across. It was called sudden infant death syndrome. It was one of those moments when I start to look back at my life trying to understand all of the factors that brought me to that very moment. And the crazy part was that wasn't the craziest story I had heard that semester. That senior semester wasn't a typical one. It was my fifth year of college. I didn't graduate in four, as they say we should be. Although they're saying like less and less people are graduating in that four-year mark because we live in America and there's a system to scam us of as much money as possible everywhere. And education is not immune. But I digress. I was in my fifth year because halfway through my third year, I realized that I had absolutely no passion or drive or interest to become a nurse, a path I had at the time been pursuing for 2.5 years. This realization, although seemingly harmless to me, was an astronomical, life-altering, catastrophic family crisis for my parents. See, because up until that point in my life, I forgot that I was an immigrant from a family of immigrants. My parents had worked very hard to ensure we all had the opportunities that we needed and had stability, and Allah granted them success in it. So I grew up privileged. I grew up with privileged thoughts, like thinking that the world was my oyster and I could make anything happen if I put my trust in Allah and got to work. I believe that I can dream as big as possible and not have to worry about anything other than putting my best effort in. The day I had announced the change of my major was the day I was pulled back into a reality my parents had been living and I had been oblivious to. It was the day I discovered that I was an immigrant too, and still I am. It was the day I was asked, How dare I seek to thrive when we've been built to survive? They didn't necessarily put it as poetically as that, but that's how I felt. But looking back, objectively, we weren't really in survival mode as a family. We were just used to it. The default motto had been stability, stability, stability. Every opportunity was for stability. You see, when a plan gets you out of the worst and into the safety of stability, you hate to go back to the discomfort of the unknown. You choose the tracks that have been tested out, tried and true methods to ensuring future stability. And it is hard to find a career that is more stable than being a nurse. If you're a nurse, you'll probably be buried in your scrubs. Absolute respect to all our nurses out there who are doing work that they definitely don't get paid enough for. And especially for those who choose excellence and kindness and consideration. I call it the Baumy standard. If you know, you know. But here was the daughter of immigrants choosing to waltz into the unknown on a unicorn, claiming there was a beautiful view out there and she was going to sail to the horizon and change it for the better. When I look back, I wonder how ridiculous I seem to my parents saying things like, I don't know what I'll do, but I know I'll be good at it. See, they grew through a life that took them on a roller coaster that took their stability away. And it was no longer about how good you were or what you were good at or how hard you worked. Life became about survival and finding safety, security, and stability. Just like the story of many immigrants, they had to start over when the ground was wiped from underneath them. But if you should know one thing about me, is that I am a devastating optimist. Call me an idealist, a dreamer. I believe wholeheartedly when Allah said, He is over everything capable. I believe that no matter what, Allah is the one who writes the story at the end of the day. And if Allah can turn the fire cold for Ibrahim, may peace and blessings be upon him, and bring the dead back through the hands of Jesus, peace be upon him, then why couldn't I dream? Why should I shackle myself to some limitation set by past experiences? No one but Allah knows the future. And I was always going to ask him to grant me the best fairy tale. Why settle for mediocre when incredible was just a prayer away? This attitude and confidence gave my parents stress. I was brave, and sometimes too brave. So naturally, they tried their best to dissuade me. But just like I was born with my mother's smile and my father's eyes, I also got my mother's stubbornness. And my mother's stubbornness was a fact of life, just like death and taxes. So there I was, sitting in the studio at NPR, listening to this heartbreaking story of a couple who woke up and their child had died. He was healthy, 3 months old baby. It was a syndrome I had heard about for the first time that day. Sudden infant death syndrome, where a healthy child just passes away. There was an eerie hollowness to the story. As the parents spoke, I could feel all of us held hostage, frozen in space, not knowing how to move or breathe, but being forced to accept this thing that was too big to swallow. This wasn't an unusual story for this team. Nora's podcast, Terrible Thanks for Asking, an award-winning podcast, by the way, was built on speaking about grief and pain and difficult topics that can easily shut down any dinner conversation. It was a space that allowed people to come and speak about the horrible things that happen in life and not have to be okay with it at the end. I loved working on the podcast because it made me feel like I had my hand on the pulse of the human experience. Nora is still one of the funniest people I know. She has this beautiful way of making you feel like you are and will be okay, no matter what version of you shows up today. Because she herself has been through it. I encourage everyone to get her books. She's an author, an incredible author. I've never laughed out loud while reading a book, especially a book on grief. But her books are so funny, so painful, so true to the human experience. I was the intern on the team, so my job was mainly to transcribe the episodes and have them ready for when Hans, the producer, has to edit them together. Having to transcribe the story meant that I listened to that audio over and over again. And the whole time when I was listening to it, I kept putting myself in the shoes of those parents. And more than any other episode, it was the one that kept me wondering, how do people do it? How do people just accept the pain? There are moments in our lives when we're taught to speak a language that only those who experienced it can speak and understand. I call them pain languages. When you go through a painful experience, you get tuned to a different frequency. You can hear things that others can't hear. You can see things that others can't see and understand without a single word being spoken. These experiences are not by choice, though. You don't get to select them. There is no, like, choose your test and pain survey station before you come into the world. These experiences are chosen for you. You don't control the time, location, or duration, or frequency. Listening to that story, I became acutely aware of how can a person process pain without understanding the why? It seems like life is designed for you to ask the question, why. If there was any story that could drive me there, it was the sudden death of a healthy child. Literally nothing wrong with them medically, just dies. I remember thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me tools to understand, or at least get access to understanding the why. I remember thinking of the child's parents, that it didn't seem like they had an answer that was satisfactory at the end of that episode. An answer that made this thing that feels so wrong make sense. They had gratitude and they had somber acceptance. And that question comes, is there really an explanation for that kind of pain? These horrific tragedies that happen in our lives that seem so random and cruel. Is there some information that makes it all make sense? Imagine this with me. There's a place. There's someone sitting. They're strapped to the chair. They're screaming. And it's not like a regular type of screaming. It's the type of screaming that makes your skin crawl and your stomach. It makes you feel sick to your stomach. And then you see someone is there. And the reason the person is screaming is because someone is literally with a tool picking at their skin and peeling it off. And each peel, the person screams even more. If you didn't have enough knowledge, you would automatically feel horrified and angered and ready to fight whoever this sicko is doing this sick torture. But if you had enough information, you would understand that this was a burn unit. And the person who's working is a health professional. And they have to peel the dead, burnt skin off so that new and healthy one can grow and infections don't settle. You'll understand that this horrific, painful thing is a part of the healing process. It's the part of the journey where things are getting better. Without perspective, surgeons look like sadistic butchers. Conservationists look like animal murderers. And firefighters look like home destroyers. Without the right context, mercy looks like cruelty. And healing looks like destruction. So the question comes, what is the context? What is the perspective that we are missing? Because no matter how hard we try as human beings, we can never turn off the question of why. So what is the bigger picture? This radio is dedicated to telling stories from that bigger lens, getting us closer to understanding the world through the lens of the Quran. We look at the world not from our small, zoomed-in, singular perspectives, but from the perspective that we are all meant to understand it from. And when we zoom out, all the way out, we will realize that this was just a big love story between us and Allah. Don't believe me? Keep listening. And I promise I will convince you one week at a time, one story at a time. This is Munna Sheikh Omar. You've been listening to Beautiful Light, your Akhira-driven radio, brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. I will catch you on the other side. Bi-ithnillah, inshallah, God willing. Until then, live with kindness and keep your heart on Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.